Today, I have a Father's Day message, and it's from 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And this is where Paul the Apostle is showing us his paternal skills as a dad, as a spiritual father to the church in Corinth. And so Paul in chapter 4 of 1 Corinthians lets us see his parental side as he's correcting the saints in the church of Corinth for not living good Christian lives. In other words, he has been leveling them, you know, as a spiritual father, for their carnality, for their pride, for their causing quarrels and divisions in the church and living immoral lives. And so he uses the metaphor of a father here in portraying the living relationship that should take place between a pastor and his congregation and also the spiritual fathers with their children. And so he gives us three principles that are very powerful to teach us how to be good spiritual leaders. And that's what I titled today's sermon, How to Become Good Spiritual Leaders. And one of the things is we learn from the Word how to become those spiritual parents to many of the people that God uses us to lead into His kingdom. And I don't know about you, but it feels great to be a spiritual father, right? To have a lot of children spiritually that God has used you in bringing into the kingdom. And it's a wonderful thing to see them grow. So Paul here is exhorting the church and he's letting them know, look, I'm coming. Because there's a lot of false teachers also present that were lying to them. And he says, and I'm going to put everything straight. And when I get there, we'll see who's real and who's not, right? And so this is what he's doing here in this stretch of scripture. So I titled it, How to Become a Good Spiritual Leader. Let's go to verses 14 and 15 of chapter 4 of 1 Corinthians. And let's see what it takes to become a good spiritual leader. I do not write these things to shame you, but to admonish you as my beloved children. For if you were to have countless tutors in Christ, yet you would not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I became your father through the gospel. Now, the first point I want to give you is if we're going to be good spiritual leaders, we first have to learn how to reproduce. Okay? And what does that mean? We reproduce by telling others about Christ. They receive the Lord. Then we become their spiritual parents. And it's something when you first lead a person to Christ and you start talking to them about Jesus Christ, how eager they are to learn about the Lord. And if you notice, when you lead someone to Christ in the beginning, they're always asking questions. Like, what does it say this in the Bible? Why does it say that? Right? And they're always kind of keeping you on your toes to make sure that you're ready to answer their questions. Well, Paul says something very interesting here. When you lead someone to the Lord, remember it's not you saving them. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at what he says. He says, I have begotten you through the gospel, right? That means that Jesus is the one who saves, and it's through the truth of his word that he saves. And so it's very important when you lead someone to Christ to understand they're not yours. They belong to the Lord, and the Lord saved them. But look at what he says. I'm correcting you because you're my spiritual children, right? God used Paul in a way as a channel to lead them to Christ, but he understood that he wrote these words of warning because they weren't living lives that reflected Christ in the church and in their personal life. And so he begins exhorting them and he says, I don't want this to tear you down. I don't want it to shame you. I want it to pick you up. We're not in the business of shaming people. That's not the way the Holy Spirit works. What is the Holy Spirit called? The comforter, right? Not the embarrasser, right? Not the one who crushes people, but the one who lifts up. This is what we got to remember. As we train young lives, as we disciple them in Christ, they're going to make mistakes. But we don't shame them. We don't make them feel like, I'm your Lord and look at what's going on. You just continue to love them through their mistakes. And as they grow, one of the blessings we have is we see the love of Christ take over and they mature and become these young disciples who are going to be soon discipling others. That's the goal. As Christians, we've got to be reproducing and we've got to be telling people about Christ. It's healthy. Every Christian needs an inlet, right? And every Christian needs an outlet. It's not just taking in information and that you grow in knowledge, but there's no outlet, right, to minister to people with the information you have. To be a healthy Christian, you need an inlet and an outlet. If not, you're just going to gain a knowledge and become constipated spiritually. That's all you get. Okay? But if you understand you need an outlet, then you start going and sharing the gospel with people around you. And this is how you become a spiritual parent, right? And it's important to understand that, okay? Paul's heart had great joy in his life when his children walked in the truth of God. That's a parent who's also joyful. Just like we, when we have our earthen children, right, biological. We have joy when they're walking with Christ and they're walking in a way that pleases not only us, but we know it honors God. But what's the opposite that happens many times with our children? There's some prodigal children, right? Those that push the envelope, those that want to see what's out the bubble, outside the bubble of Christianity. And they start messing up. How does that make us feel as parents? It saddens us. Well, in the spiritual realm, Paul had this heart for all these people. And remember, there was tons of people he influenced. And so he reminds us that we have to be caring for other people as Christians to be healthy. And this is something that we kind of drop the ball on. We come to church, we get saved, and then we stay comfortable. And we forget that there's other people in our families and our sphere of influence that need the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he's exhorting the church in Corinth, and he tells them, look, it doesn't matter if you have 10,000 instructors in Christ. He says, my heart is this way for you. He says, no one's going to love you as much as I do, because I see how important it is. What a heart, right, that Paul had for his people. And so he says, you have many instructors, but only one is your spiritual father. And he says, I poured in my life to you. And that's what a spiritual father does. He pours his life into his disciples. It's great to see so many children in the kingdom of God when God uses you and you have a big family. And I come from a big family. And that's what I always like, right? Noise in the house. And I like all these activities going on, especially like during these holidays. You love having all your family around. It's something that's very joyful for the person who has family. But in the spiritual realm, that's even more joyful, because you know that those people that you've ministered to are going to go to be with Jesus one day. And so it's a joy to be a spiritual father. And so Paul is speaking with the authority of a father. And he's speaking into their lives. Now, have you ever put much thought into your spiritual fathers, the ones that saved you, the ones that brought you to the Lord, I mean, as far as getting saved? How many of you remember that person that ministered to you and discipled you? Man, it's a joy, right, to know them. It's wonderful to have someone who cared for you, that came and told you God's truth. And that's a value to have. If you have a spiritual father, be thinking about that spiritual father that made it possible for you to be able to spend time with the Lord now, from here on out. During these holidays, we remember our earthen fathers, but it's just as important to remember our spiritual fathers. And when you look around and you see your children right all over the place, it's a joy as a teacher and as a servant. Okay? Now, whoever led you to Christ is your spiritual parent or father. And this is important to understand, because they played a special role in your life. See, we all have spiritual fathers when we come to Christ. It's the one who discipled us and ministered to us. Now, one of the things that led us to teach us is we should all reproduce. We should all be spiritual fathers to someone or mothers to someone when we are sharing the gospel with people. There's people that tend to be in the body of Christ for a long time, and they forget. He didn't save us just to save us. He also saved us to reproduce. And this is one of the things that we have to learn. Are you reproducing as a Christian? Are you discipling people? Are you leading them to the Lord, and are they in touch with you so you can continue to lead them and guide them? Don't get comfortable in your spiritual walk, or you forget you're supposed to be reproducing. Now, I'll put that in perspective for you. If each one of us led someone to the Lord this month, just one, okay, and they come to the Lord, how would the church look if they start coming to this church? And I don't care if they go to another church, right, if you disciple them. But just using an example, just so you can see. How many people are here? And if we multiply by one, you notice the effect it has? We would have full churches all over the place. The thing is, we've dropped the ball on being spiritual leaders, and this is one of the things that we have to learn. We must reproduce to keep the church healthy. The more we reproduce, the more believers are in the seats. And remember that a father is one who has a child, right? So in the spirit, you've got to have a child eventually in your Christian walk. Now, you're not a father or a mother until you have a child, right? And so today I remind you, you may be a husband, you may be a wife, but you're not a parent unless you have a child. As Christians, we are called to reproduce and have children spiritually. Okay, let's go to Proverbs 11:30. The Bible even tells us you're wise when you reproduce. Okay? And that is because God gives you rewards for leading others to Christ. You'll have yourself a crown, a soul winner's crown that's promised to you from the Lord. It says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And he who is wise wins what? Souls. So we're meant to reproduce and we're meant to lead others into the kingdom of God. And this is what the Lord is trying to teach us as we celebrate Father's Day. It's great to have dads. And some of you may be missing your father. And maybe some of you remember great times. Some of you might have had a hard time with a hard father. But you're still blessed to have known a father. And so, if you're wise, you lead other people to Christ the way the Word says. You must have in your heart that desire to reproduce, okay? You must, as a Christian, produce spiritual children. This is what it's saying in Scripture. Now remember, when God uses someone to lead someone to the Lord, it's the Lord who wins them to the kingdom, not you. Right? So you don't exercise authority in the wrong way and abuse it. But you take care and understand God is the one who saves them. And he will continue to be the one who brings them into the kingdom because of his sacrifice on the cross. But Paul is very careful to say, I have begotten you through Christ Jesus and the gospel. That's what brings them into the kingdom. It's not us. Jesus and his word saves the lost. How many believe that? Right? So we can never take credit for it. As spiritual fathers, we're kind of on the below the radar. We're just there if people need us, but it's Christ who gets all the glory when he leads someone to Christ. Okay, let's go to James 1:18. The Bible is very clear on who saves people, and it's the Lord. James 1, verse 18. It says, in the exercise of his will, he brought us forth by what? The word of truth, right? So that we would be a kind of first fruits among his creatures. He saved us through the word, the truth of his word, right? And so we cannot own any people who are led to the Lord through our lives. It is God who owns them through his blood, the one who shed that blood for them on the cross. See, and there are Christians who have never experienced leading someone to Christ. And you're robbing yourself of a great blessing. Because when you experience that, when God uses you to lead someone to the Lord, it is an awesome, awesome blessing. And one of the things is it feels great to know that God used you in that capacity. And when you become that spiritual parent, it's an awesome day that you rejoice in. Some of the greatest memories I have are people who have given their lives and are still walking with God through all these years. And it's a joy to have been used with God in that way, in that capacity. So remember that. Every believer should become a spiritual parent. Paul was a spiritual father to the Corinthians, but he also touched so many other lives. Remember where he went to minister in Galatia, Antioch, Pisidia, Derbe, Lystra, all these places, all these other regions in Asia, and wherever God sent him, Paul had countless spiritual children. I'm kind of like Paul now. You know, when you look back and you remember the start of the ministry to now, and you remember, who have I baptized? Who have I married? Who have I? And you start looking back and you're like, Paul, I don't even remember. Tu gordo, tu flaca, you know. You just forget names. It's like you just keep doing the work of God and you start having these spiritual children and it's an awesome thing, but you continue to always be there for them. But after a while, when you've been doing it a while, you notice that one of the things that is a joy is to be that spiritual parent to someone or somebody, okay? And so, Paul had spiritual children like Aquila, Priscilla, Timothy, Titus, Crispus, Onesimus, and many more. And that's who he was. That was his heart. As a matter of fact, he would remember these people, but also forget how many people he baptized in that same letter in Corinthians. So I forget who I baptized, but it's a wonderful feeling to be expended for God and for his glory. Okay, now, This is what I want you to take from this. Are you reproducing? Or are you still the same after all the years with Christ? When's the last time you led someone to Christ? Maybe you put it on cruise control and you haven't been working to be able to get that harvest into the kingdom of God. When you celebrate Father's Day today, remember that. We're celebrating fathers who have children. But in the kingdom, even more precious if we are celebrating the children that have come in through the truth of the Word of God and through Jesus Christ. So reproduce. Keep sharing the gospel. You'll be surprised how God will continue to use you wherever you're planted. Okay? So point number one, how to become a good spiritual leader. We must learn to reproduce. Point number two, we must learn to model Christ-likeness, just like Paul. Verses 16 and 17. Let's go there. 1 Corinthians 4. Verses 16 and 17. Therefore, I exhort you, and look at what he says, be imitators of me. For this reason, I have sent to you Timothy, who is my beloved and faithful child in the Lord, and he will remind you of my ways, which are in Christ, just as I teach everywhere in every church. Now look at this. Paul had Christ-likeness in him. That means he was an imitator of Christ. In turn, people saw Jesus in his life. That's what's supposed to happen in your life as a good spiritual leader. People see that you really, truly want to walk with God in Christ-likeness. In other words, to become as close to him as possible. And he says, I urge you, right, to imitate me. That's some powerful words, right? Could you say that about your life? Man, please imitate me so that you can follow Jesus the same way. Right, Paul was a spiritual father. And one of the things that he sets a Christ-like pattern for his children, he says, I want you to follow me. That's awesome, right? When you can get to that point where you can say, follow me. I'm really that serious about walking with my Lord. See, when you're discipling somebody, let them know that you want to exemplify that pattern to be like the Lord. The more you look like the Lord, the more people are going to want to be like the Lord. Why? Because it's catchy. Right? Once you see someone who's on fire for the Lord, who's got a passion for the Lord, they also want to have that passion to be like Christ. And if they see that in your life, they're going to share it with others and so on and so on. It's like a domino effect. More and more people see each other serving God with those same heart that Jesus had, and so people want to live like that. And you don't mind being an example of Christ after you've been in this for a while. You say, follow my life. I'm not perfect, but I am trying to strive after God. Okay, and Christ-likeness isn't perfection. What it means is you're striving to be like Christ and be obedient to his word and to who he is. But you'll make mistakes. And even your people that you're discipling, right, the people that God has shared in your life, they're going to see those imperfections, but you're sincere about it. You say, I'm working on it. You know, I'm sorry I did this. I'm sorry I blew up. I'm sorry I lost my temper. This is who I am. And I'm working on it to become more like Christ. Even the way you respond with your imperfections makes a big deal with the people you're discipling because they see that you're transparent. See, and whatever you want them to become, you want to model that so that you're not being a hypocrite to them as well. Look, I'm living this way as best as I can, and I want you to imitate those things in me. And see, what the power is in that is that we're asking people to do things that we ourselves do. And not being hypocrites about it. Think about it. Mom and Dad, do our children see everything we do? We can't put up fronts with them, right? If your kids see you, they see, you know, it's cool how things happen, right? You're like having an argument at home, and then all of a sudden the phone ring and it's a sister or brother from Christ. And you're here yelling at the top of your lungs, right? And you guys don't behave, you can't do that. And I'll say, ring, and then, hello, God bless you, how are you doing? You know, we change all of a sudden into that church mode. But our kids say, oh, you were just yelling at me. Why don't you tell that to your brother and sister, you know? And so they can see through us. And so the thing is that affects our children. And in turn, in the spirit, our spiritual children see if we're really living the word the way we're supposed to or not. Now, remember what I told you. Our children, right, will see what we're doing and right away they'll say, hey, you don't practice that at home. Don't be a hypocrite. Right? And right away they point out your faults. And this is good to be on that meter, right? Because it keeps you in check. And one of the things, right, What happens when they catch us? We either do one of two things. I'm sorry, I lost it. You know, I messed up, whatever. Or we hold on to our pride. No, you're the wrong, you know, whatever. What do we usually tell our kids when they bust us when we do something wrong? Don't do as I do. Do as I say, right? And that is wrong because we have to be sincere with them. When we mess up and we say, I'm sorry, I'm not a good example in this area, but I'll work on it. See, the toughest place to be a disciple is in your home because our kids and our family see everything about us. The cool thing is to turn it around. You know what? I see how I'm supposed to be living. I'm not there yet, but I want my kids to see that. Why? Because then it in turn touches them. They in turn want to live for Christ as well. But don't be a hypocrite, okay? Remember, at home, everything hangs out. At home, everything is transparent. And we have to learn from those things so that we will walk with God accordingly. You know, our children see us if we're praying or not. Our children see us as if we love to see, you know, God working in our lives and we're continually fellowshipping with Him. This is what is important. If we are going to be good spiritual leaders, remember that the head is the one that has to be the straightest first. If the head is on straight, right, your home will operate straight. But if the head is crooked, then everything else in the home goes in disarray. We have to walk by example, dads. And as we're celebrating you today, thank you for being godly dads. Thank you for being in your homes because more and more godly dads are needed. How many of you see the lack of many godly fathers in homes today? That's a big need we have, and we need to be praying for more godly fathers. Okay, so if we're going to be effective as spiritual parents, we need to set a pattern of Christ-likeness in our homes. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4, verse 9. Practice what you hear and what you read. Paul wrote this again. He said, the things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things and the God of peace will be with you. You know, when we learn and we apply these things in our homes change. And there's a lot of peace in our homes because God is the centerpiece of our homes. And when we do bring this into practice, what we have heard and what we have seen and what we know is in the Word of God, there's a peace that comes into our homes, and it's a blessing to be at our homes when Christ is at the center of our homes. Don't ever forget that. When you start obeying the Word like it should be in your home, there's a tremendous peace that enters into your home. And those moments where you lose it are less and less. And all of a sudden, it'll take over, and God will give you that peace in your home where everyone loves to be there because it's so peaceful. When it's not, that's when you have conflict. Okay, so we must have the same attitude as Paul in humility and not arrogance. Not think, oh, I'm spiritually strong, man. I walk on water. No, humility. You know what? I'm trying by grace to continue to be more and more like my Lord. I'm trying my best to walk in a godly manner. Look at my life. And I'm trying to change. And then, like Paul said, be imitators of me. See, if we would have everyone in the church pick up that attitude. Can you imagine the church and its condition? If everybody says, imitate me, because I'm really trying to walk with God in humility, a church would be powerful walking in that way. See, discipline isn't just teaching principles. It's about living them. And it's important to live what we read. And if we do that, our lives will change dramatically as well at home. Then he brings in Timothy here, right? And remember, this was Paul's spiritual child. Timothy went in his presence. You notice that? And he says, I'm bringing Timothy to you guys in Corinth as well so he can share with you the things that I've taught him. So he was an extension of Paul, if you notice that. So in other words, Paul didn't even have to be present because he had another protege there, someone who was like him, and he would be able to take over, and Paul was comfortable. Look, Timothy's going. He'll be there, and it's like I'm there. He's my rep. And I trust him so much that I know he's not going to guide you wrong. Same thing with us. The more we raise disciples, the more we lead people in that way to Christ, we don't even have to be at some of the functions because they're going to be there and no one will miss us because they've been discipled properly. The more we make disciples in the image of Christ, right? The more we teach them to become more like Christ. One of the things that will happen is the work of the Lord will get done even smoother. because everyone will be pitching in. And at home, it's the same principle. If our children are discipled the right way, they all pitch in. And our home begins to get blessed as well. So as you continue to grow as a spiritual leader, Timothy was so much an ambassador of Paul that Paul didn't even have to be present anymore. And this is what you're striving for when you make disciples. They can go in your place and you will not be missed. That's when you know you're a good leader. Whenever you form a leader to become like Christ and he starts serving in that capacity, many times you won't even be missed. You know, and that's good because you're doing your job before Christ. The less you get noticed, the more Jesus is seen in you and your disciples. Amen? So remember that as you're serving and building up the body of Christ. The best way to be an effective leader is to represent the Lord in Christ's likeness. So you go after the heart of God. And when you fall, get back up in God's grace and keep pressing forward, showing people that you are human, but you also have a Savior who's kind to restore you. Okay, so practice being more Christ-like. Okay, so how to become a good spiritual leader? First of all, we must learn to reproduce. Second of all, we must learn to model Christ-likeness, become more like Him. And then lastly, we must learn to exercise our authority. Let's go to verses 18 to 21, and we'll be closing up here pretty soon. It says, "Now some have become arrogant, as though I were not coming to you." And these were the false teachers in the church. They thought, Paul's not going to come after us. But he says, "I will come to you soon, if the Lord wills. And I shall find out not the words of those who are arrogant, but their power. For the kingdom of God does not consist in words, but in power." What do you desire? Shall I come to you with a rod or with love and the spirit of gentleness? So then Paul says, look, to all these false teachers that are misleading you, I am going to teach them through scripture that they're wrong, and they'll come out to light. And so what Paul did, he taught these false teachers and told them, look, it's not the eloquent words you're sharing. They're wrong. They're not scriptural. But I will come. And when I come, I'm going to bring out what you're teaching that is wrong. And so these false teachers were there in the church and teaching people they could live immoral lives, that they could still be with God, all these other issues. And so Paul steps in and lets them know, look, spiritual character is not in words. Anybody can have a lot of lip. It's how you live that makes all the difference in the world. You can learn the spiritual jargon, can't you? You can learn the hallelujahs and bless you, my brother, and all that church lingo very quickly. But what Paul was saying here, look, true disciples of Christ, good leaders, they're not based on their words. They're based on the way they live, the power behind their lives through the gospel and the Holy Spirit. That's very important. There's a lot of people with great lip, but they never have the power to show the love of Christ to others. In other words, that doesn't flow from their way of living. And so he says, you can speak all you want, but if you don't have the power behind the gospel with you, in other words, when you don't put it into action, you're just going to be a sounding brass. You're just going to have a lot of brass sounding words, but no love behind them and power to back it up. And so the issue here, right, it says, put your power under the influence. Put your life under the influence of the power of God. And this is what he's saying here. And see, these false teachers were very proud of their accomplishments. And they were proud to the hilt, puffed up with pride. And they thought, Paul won't correct us. He may follow up and he's got too many people to worry about. And Paul says, nope, I'm not forgetting. I will come to you shortly. And we will see what is real and what is false. And see, one of the things that you guys will be exposed before the people, false teachers will always get exposed. Who they are will come out. And eventually, this is why when we disciple young people, we teach them to stick to the word. It's not about emotions, whether I feel like serving God or not. It's about me being dedicated to the word to continue to follow, even when I don't feel like following, even when I don't feel like serving. I know I have to because of what he's done for me. And so we teach our young people, especially those baby Christians, that don't go by emotion, because there's going to be times when you want to throw in the towel as a Christian. There's going to be times when you're beaten up and you'll want to run away from everything. that you have to remember to teach him, always go back to Christ and always speak with authority. When someone is not living their life the way they should, just like Paul, we have to correct, and that's part of who we are. And so he was bringing discipline with him. And he says, look, I have to correct what is wrong. And one of the things he tells them, for the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. So I'm going to teach you through scripture where you're wrong. And this is what we have to do. Remember, God wants us to continue to discipline. And as parents to a spiritual child, you have to discipline them when they're off base, when they're getting away from God. There's so many young people that come in at first and they're confused and then they get away from the church. We have to go get them and bring them back and say, look, you're living the wrong life. Let's start living for Christ. And then when you see the false teachers, we have to speak up against them as well. We have authority. Remember, that's one of the things that God has taught us. We must use our authority that we've been given in the church, not stay quiet. This is why there's a lot of problems in the world, because of us not speaking up and doing something about it. As a matter of fact, the church is tame right now. They're not speaking up. They're just letting the world get more and more yardage, more and more territory. And instead of stopping it, we just go along with the flow. God put us in this place to be authoritative, just like Paul was exhorting the church in Corinth and their false teachers. When there is a false teacher, we have to speak up. We cannot stay quiet. When you see someone sharing wrong doctrine, we must speak up. That's part of the authority God has given us. Look at what he says in Matthew 7, verses 16 to 18. You'll know people by their fruit, not just their words, but how they live. And this is one of the keys. That's why he said, right? Not in word, but in power. You'll know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? So every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. You are who you are by the way you live. You may speak eloquently, but your lives are not showing it. And this is what Paul is telling the false teachers. By your fruits you shall know them, right? Jesus said, do not listen to people's words only. Look at how they live. Many a person has deceived many people by smooth words, right? Deceptive words. Talk is cheap, right? You've heard the saying. Real change requires God's power. And this is what he's saying here. The power of the Holy Spirit and the word within you. A spiritual father will have to discipline his sheep when it's necessary. And this is what Paul is doing here. Now, that's not a fun job. Correcting the sheep is never fun, but it's needed. And as a leader, if you're going to be a good one, you have to learn how to discipline God's way, not your way, or not like our parents used to whoop on us before, right? And I came from a family of 10, right? And we were always getting corrected, but it was usually just to keep order. It wasn't like they're going to show you the principle you violated or what you did. Just come here, whoops, right? And even mom had a good chancla, right, to hit you with, a good sandal. And that was it. Now in Christ, look at how more beautiful it is. We know biblical principles now. And we should know how to correct our children with that way. If we disciple our children the right way and we correct them the right way, they'll grow. But if it's in the flesh, all you're going to get is more rebellious kids. They have to learn how they violate and hurt God when they're being corrected. And Scripture is very clear. Look, you had earthen fathers, and yet they kept you in check by their discipline. Right? How much more now that your father who disciplines you biblically and correctly in perfection, how much more are you not supposed to listen to him? And this is what it says to us in Scripture. Let's go to Hebrews 12. Never get tired of disciplining your children. It's important, especially your spiritual children as well if they're off course, okay? Hebrews 12, 7 to 11. It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? But if you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, and look at what he calls them, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. In other words, if you have a parent, they're going to correct you spiritually or biologically. Furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us. And we respected them. Shall we not much more rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short while, as seemed best to them. But he disciplines us for our good, so that we may share his holiness. All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, afterward it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. See, when God corrects us in his perfection, he wants fruit to be born into our lives after the correction, so we learn from it. That's why I'm telling you, when an earthen father corrects without scripture, without it's just flesh, right? He's angry. That's all it produces back. But the way the Lord corrects, he matures you with correction. And when you're his children, right, one of the things is it's even more important to understand and receive that correction, not to get hard-hearted, so that you don't turn on your parents, you don't get angry at them, but you realize, you know what, I had this coming. And thank you, Lord, that you do correct me in a scriptural manner. Now, of course, when you correct, it's always under control. Never in the flesh, because flesh only reaps flesh, and spirit brings spirit forth. Right? That's how it works. I want you to understand that principle. When you correct your children, be patient. One of the things, you're going to get older. And as you correct scripturally, the more fruit that's going to come from it in your life. But there's also children that rebel. Right? And it even tells us here in scripture that for the moment when they would correct us, right, it didn't appear to be kind, but afterward it yields fruit in your life. That's what happens many times when we correct our children as Christians. At first they may get mad at us. It doesn't matter if we did it under control and with the scriptures. It's going to bear fruit eventually. But the thing is, the patience to let the Lord work the way he works. He's the one that can soften the hearts of our kids. We can't. And so when we're getting to the point of frustration, this is where we have to go back to scripture and say, look, Father, help me to remain targeted. That when I do correct, I do it with the love that you've given me when I make mistakes. And then that way that'll bear a lot of fruit. Okay, now, children get to the age where they're accountable for their sins. And when they are, God's not going to throw that sin upon you. He's not going to say, parent, you messed up your kid bad. His sins are on you. No, it doesn't work that way. When they're at the age of accountability, they are starting to be responsible for their sins, not you. Now, you know what God holds us responsible for when we're correcting our kids as well? It is that we did nothing to guide them, to correct them. In other words, we didn't show them the path to take. The sins are going to come back on us when they're older. It's going to be that we looked the other way and didn't guide them. And you know who's a good example in scripture of this is Eli the priest in scripture. Remember when Hophni and Phinehas, his sons, were in the ministry with him. One of the things, they were corrupt. They were having sexual relationships with the ladies at church, at the temple. They were stealing meat meant for sacrifices to the Lord, and they were selling it and even eating it themselves and partaking of all the profits. See, that was wrong, and Eli did nothing to correct them. The Lord did not hold him accountable for their sins. He held him accountable for not doing anything about it. Parents, we have to instruct with the authority God has given us. That pertains to our spiritual children as well, those we're guiding to the Lord. If they're wrong, they're wrong, and we have to correct them, but with the love and the nurturing of the scriptures. Okay, now let's go to see Eli and what the Lord said about him, and I want you to pay attention to that. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 10 to 13. Then the Lord came and stood and called us other times out to Samuel. Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, speak, for your servant is listening. The Lord said to Samuel, behold, I am about to do a thing in Israel at which both ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. In that day I will carry out against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. For I have told you that I am about to judge his home forever for the iniquity which he knew, because his sons brought a curse on themselves, and he did not what? Rebuke them, didn't correct them. See, as parents, he doesn't hold us accountable for the sin, but he holds us in account for instruction. We have to guide them. And even if they're 50, how many of you know we still have to correct our children with right counsel? We never stop being parents, guys. And the same thing with our lives when we lead someone to Christ. We're always going to be that spiritual parent for those people, and we never stop working. But when our children are corrected, remember, it's a biblical thing. It's not about age or limits on time. It's about doing what's right. And the issue is more right from wrong, teaching them what to do, the things that God requires. Now, if they receive it or not, then it's on them, but at least you did your job to instruct them. Don't ever think that you retire as a parent. There's always going to be a time when your kids need you to give sound biblical doctrine. It's the same thing for your spiritual children that you lead to Christ. You have to be there to give them strong counsel. So today, as we're going through these things, I want you to remind you, if we are God's children, we all have to learn how to receive discipline. And at first, it may not seem good, but it will bring forth a lot of fruit later on. Paul said, I'm coming shortly. And you false teachers who are lying to these people are going to be exposed for who you are. Right? But then he also says, for the people who are his children, he says, look, it's either going to be a great day, a festival of love, where I come and pour it on you for being faithful, or it's going to be a hard day of discipline when I get there. But I'm going to take care of matters. The choice is yours, right? And that's the same thing today. We are in charge of loving on people, but also correcting. We have authority God has given us. Even Jesus, when he comes back, he says this in Revelation 22:20. And we have to be ready for his return, remember. He who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming quickly. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Maranatha, right? Come quickly. So one of the issues here, when he comes back, we have two options. Okay? And one of the things we're going to hear him say is either, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. Or we're going to listen to the words, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into my joy, into my peace. Be ready. Continue to grow. Continue to learn through God's grace. And if you are going to be a good biblical leader, you have a choice to make. My life is to be sacrificed for others, just the way Jesus sacrificed his life for mine. Are you ready if Jesus calls you home? And is your life in order the way it should be so that you honor him when he does return? Biblical leaders that are used by God greatly are the humble ones like Paul, who just want to do things for the honor and glory of Christ. I pray that's your heart today. As you're celebrating Father's Day, remember the Father who never lets you down. That even though your father and mother forsake you here on earth, he will never forsake you. And that he's got you. He's got you. No matter what you go through, he will not let you go. So today, celebrate Father's Day. Thank you for all the godly dads we do have, because they make a big difference in our homes. And so thank you guys for being good examples to your kids. Keep pressing forward. Keep learning. But also, listen to what the Word told us today. We're to reproduce. Are you reproducing? Are you making more disciples? Are you leading more people to Christ, or has it been a while? Okay, and I remind you, if you don't have a child, you're not a father. So if you don't have a child spiritually, my prayer is that you'll get up and start working so that you'll have a large spiritual family that you're going to be taking care of. Okay? Believer, are you reproducing? Okay, number two, are you setting an example of Christ-likeness in your home and in your church? For all those around you, are you being that person that people say, I want to be like him because he resembles Christ? This works at your workplace, at school, wherever you go. Are you someone that people can say, I want to live like them because I see the fruit in their lives? All right? So encourage one another and keep pressing forward. And then remember, the authority God has given you, are you using it? Are you speaking up when things are wrong? And are you coming against those things that are wrong to make sure that you're leading people the right path? Make sure you use that authority in your home and where you work and wherever you're at. God wants to use you powerfully, okay? For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. Let the power of the life Christ has given you shine forth to people in need, right? That we come across. So, dads, again, thank you. And for the rest of us, we got work to do to be good biblical leaders and to bring honor and glory to God. Amen.